Jesus. But before we arrive at Easter Sunday, we must not forget, we must not rush past the significance of Good Friday. See, worshipping a resurrected God is actually not unique to Christianity. Many religions in the ancient world celebrated resurrected gods. Ancient cultures from around the world, including India, China, Egypt, they all worshipped gods that they believed were resurrected. What is unique to Christianity is that the central focus is also on the suffering, the shame, and the humiliation of our God. And it's confronting to see. I think today, in this day and age, we love victory, we love hope, and we love to celebrate. And Easter Sunday is victorious, and it is special, and it is worth celebrating. But we can't rush past Good Friday. We must not rush past the pain, torment, anguish, and loneliness, suffering, and shame of Good Friday. We must not rush past the agony of waiting or the agony of nothingness in Easter Saturday. There are lessons to be learnt in both of these places. And it's Good Friday right through to Easter Sunday together that makes Christianity unique. Today we're going to read from the Gospel of John. So if you have your Bibles handy, or you can just listen to me read it out, that's absolutely fine. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1 to 18. I don't think you're allowed to have favorite Gospels, but like you're not allowed to have favorite kids, but if there were, John would be my favorite. John 20, verse 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So the Gospel of John invites us into the walled garden of Joseph of Arimathea on Easter Sunday. In the verses just before what we have read, we are told that Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Taking Jesus' body, they wrapped it with spices and strips of linen. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Both history and archaeology suggest that in the time of Jesus, Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified, was an abandoned quarry used as a rubbish tip. Jesus was crucified in an abandoned quarry rubbish tip, but he was buried as a seed in a garden. Good Friday, Jesus invites us to give him our rubbish, the things that burden us and weigh us down, the things that if we keep hold of and if we hang on to, they may well infect us and make us unpleasant. But Easter Sunday is like being invited into a new spring garden with freshness, new life, lovely aromas, a new beginning. And today I want us to spend some time thinking about that chapter in John when Jesus is first seen alive on Easter morning and Mary Magdalene mistakes him for the gardener. Jesus, the gardener. For us looking back in time, it's actually not a mistake at all because Jesus is the gardener. He is the gardener who turns rubbish dumps into gardens. You know, over the years, the Christian church has used a number of different metaphors to describe the nature and the work of Jesus. We like associating metaphors to things because it helps us to build this picture in our head of what something or someone is like. Now, some of these metaphors that we have used for Jesus have been helpful, but some have not only been unhelpful, but also misleading and damaging to the image of God that they portray. So I just want to look at a couple of those metaphors today. First one, Jesus the bus conductor or the train ticket master. Many in our churches have seen Jesus a bit like a bus conductor, punching tickets that gets you up to heaven. You know, if you do X, Y, and Z, you too can have your ticket to heaven. But Easter faith, Christian hope, is far more about getting heaven to earth than it is about getting us from earth to heaven. It is about God coming to enable us to live in a resurrection life here today and not just in the future. Yes, our physical death is not the end. If resurrection means anything, it does mean that there is life after death, and God has designed us to live eternally in his presence. But God is just as much interested in our life here today as he is following our death. Salvation is not just about getting a ticket to heaven. Another metaphor, Jesus the lawyer. Some Christians think of Jesus being this lawyer that is trying to get us out of this legal jam in a court battle with an angry judge. God being this angry judge full of wrath and needing revenge, and so Jesus steps up to the plate as our lawyer. This is another misleading and damaging metaphor because if the gospel message tells us anything, it is that God is not angry with sinners. Jesus was considered a friend of sinners, and Jesus reveals who God is. We are all sinners in the hands of a loving God. He is for you, he is with you, and he loves you. He is not angry with you. Jesus the banker, a banker who makes loans from his surplus righteousness. You know, we are living in a time where many of the metaphors of Jesus in the Easter stories are producing bad theology. But Jesus the gardener, is the closest we come to an accurate portrayal of who he is. Perhaps Mary mistaking Jesus as the gardener was actually a prophetic mistake. Because Jesus is a gardener cultivating a resurrection life in all who come to him. The bus conductor, the lawyer, the banker are mostly false metaphors, giving this distorted view of salvation, giving a distorted view of what it means to be saved. But the gardener metaphor, is beautiful as it faithfully depicts the process of salvation. A gardener's work is earthy and intimate. Gardeners have their hands in the soil. Conductors, lawyers, bankers are concerned with abstract and impersonal things like tickets, laws, and money. But gardeners handle living things with living hands. Jesus is not afraid to get his hands dirty in the humus of humanity. Every life, Jesus can nurture into something beautiful. Your life is not so messed up that Jesus can't nurture you into a flourishing state. And that is good news. That is worth celebrating. The empty tomb is the open door that leads us away from the ugly rubbish, the ugly world of rubbish tips, and back to the home of the God-intended garden. You know, at the dawn of time, we are told that God came walking into the garden in the cool of the morning, the cool of the evening, looking for his people. On Easter Sunday, the risen Lord also comes walking in the garden, not in the evening, but in the morning, ushering in a totally new world filled with resurrection life. The writer G.K. Chesterton captured this image in his book called The Everlasting Man. He wrote this: "On the third day, the friends of Christ coming at daybreak to the place found the empty grave and the stone rolled away. In varying ways, they realized the new wonder. The world had died in the night. What they were looking at was the first day of a new creation, with a new heaven and a new earth, and in a semblance of a gardener, God walked again in the garden, in the cool, not of the evening, but of the dawn." So the question I want to ask you to ask yourself is this: where are you today? Where are you today? Are you stuck at Golgotha? Are you stuck in the rubbish that life just seems to keep heaving on you, feeling abandoned, lost, confused? Can I tell you today that Jesus died there at Golgotha in that abandoned quarry used as a rubbish tip? He died there for you so that that shame and that humiliation and that rubbish that is put on you, he bears that weight. He takes that upon himself, so that you no longer have to carry it, so that you can live in freedom. But he didn't stay on the cross. Jesus didn't stay at Golgotha. He didn't stay in the rubbish tip. And he doesn't want you to stay there either. Allowing him to meet you where you are today is the best decision you will ever make. And he will take you from there. And he will lead you on and give you a whole new perspective of what life is like. It doesn't mean that there won't be stuff that happens to us. We all know that saying, stuff happens. It happens. But you have a new perspective. You have a new outlook. You have a new vision. You have a new focus. You have a new hope. Perhaps you are in the garden today, feeling a little bit like Mary, upset, confused, hurt, lost. But the gardener is there. You may not always recognize him at first, like Mary, but he is there with you. And he calls you by name. And he desires to see you flourish. He desires to sit with you, to work with you, to speak with you. We just need to be willing to ask. We need to be willing to lay everything down and hold nothing back. So the message today: Jesus the gardener. Believe in the gardener, for he has risen. Can I pray? Father, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you that out of love, You sent your son here to earth, not out of anger, not out of needing revenge, not out of wrath. You didn't need him to die on the cross, but he died on the cross because man killed him. And in doing so, the miraculous happened in that Jesus took the weight of the world, the sin of the world upon his shoulders and defeated darkness. Lord, we thank you that Easter is not just about one day. We thank you for the process of Easter, the journey of Easter. That you suffered, that there was pain, that there was humiliation, that there was shame, that there was agony, and yet you did it all for us and you would do it all over again. Lord, we thank you that you can identify, that you know the pain that we feel. You know the suffering that we feel. Lord, we thank you for Easter Saturday. And in those times when, Lord, we feel like life is just holding a bit of nothingness, that life is hopeless, that the waiting is going on for too long. Father, you know what that's like, and you've been there. But Father, we thank you also that there is Easter Sunday, that there is Resurrection Sunday, that you did rise from the dead, and that you walk in that garden, calling us by name, willing to meet us where we are and take us on. So Father, we thank you. We thank you that you came to earth for us. Lord, help us now to live a life that brings you glory, that gives you honor, that brings you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.